years, like
fly out,
come on the surface.
Yeah.
And then when the first ideas come, I don't start writing yet. I don't start composing. I try to concentrate myself on those ideas. I try to dream about the music really, and in this period I defined the instrumentation. Then little by little I start drawing a map, really a map, kind of timeline, and I tell myself the duration of the piece, and then this timeline starts to be divided. I ask myself about the form. I ask myself the proportion of different
parts.
So
it's a long process.
It's a very long process every time.
Yeah.
And then after all this planning, then comes the planning of the decisions concerning the harmony and maybe other material. And then when I start to have this kind of material, and on the other hand, the dream has been more clarified, then I start writing, and then I always write from the beginning.
Okay, so you begin from,
yes,
you kind of,
yes,
do all the planning, dreaming,
yes,
ahead of time.
Yes.
So are you, I get that, that makes of course a lot of sense. I've read about a number of composers, they carry little notepads with them. They're like almost writing 24 hours a day. Are you like that? You come up with ideas in the middle of nowhere and jot them down, or?
Of course, everybody is.
Yeah.
I think that's not something you switch off. You cannot switch it off. So yes, I have normally, it can be concert programs, or it
so
can
basically
be,
you're like making a sketch of a painting, basically, in a way, when you're writing, in a way.
No. I mean, I have the visual connection, but no, I'm working with sounds. But for me, it's important to have really precise idea of the timeline of the piece.
Okay, very good. This is now another unique question I'm going to ask you. I personally listen to your music and hear incredible rich sonorities with wonderful orchestration, mysterious colors, all this great stuff. It is a sonic treat, okay, just in addition to everything else it has. That is me talking, and I know many listeners will have similar thoughts. But let's go to you as the composer. How would you describe your recent style to someone who never heard your works before?
Well, I think this is the most difficult question, of course.
That's
fine. Yes, because...
How do you describe, in other words, this is a composer, and someone says, who doesn't know you, they're a musician. What type of works do you write? What's your music like? I mean,
well, I'm very much interested in instrumental color and the playing techniques, which are maybe a little bit extended from the front of classic training.
Mm-hmm.
I want to engage the musicians. I always try to find a way to write music which talks through the musicians for the people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's communication. So of course my task is to communicate with the musician first,
right,
to engage them. So, but this doesn't answer your question.
No.
I'm sorry.
No, but that's fine. I mean, it's hard. It is a difficult question, and I just want to see how you would respond to it. And now we're going to go to one, Kaya, that's going to be, I think, for you, much easier. Okay. Share with us a little bit, share with me a little bit about the influences of nature and light in your works. That, I think, is easier.
Well, that's what you think.
Because,
in fact, it's not easier.
No,
because it's not something straightforward.
Yeah. No, it's
you know,
not.
It's,
no, it's not.
You know, we speak about light in my music, and it's true that when I imagine my music, there are some parameters which could be could be described to be visual. But of course they are not visual, they are sonic.
Yeah.
We are just using the words because we don't have better words. So I imagine my music in, and one could say metaphorically that as if there would be different surfaces, different different degrees of luminosity,
right,
of white light, but I mean that's only a metaphor.
Right, sure.
So, and what comes to nature, I love nature, we are part of the nature, but what is the influence on my music? I cannot tell you, because it's not something, how to say, you know, the it's a flow, you know, life is a flow anyway.
Sure.
That's the influences come every moment.
I want to ask you one more thing. You live now primarily in France, you studied there, and I know, you know, you've been influenced by birds, I've read about that, and one of my big musical heroes is Olivier Messiaen. How has he inspired you? Has he inspired your music? You feel it all?
Of course, Messiaen has inspired me, among many others, many others. For many reasons, but I don't think he would be like maybe the first source of importance.
Right.
But concerning my operas, yes. Yes, he has been, because his music doesn't have a long span, doesn't have a kind of a dramatic form as we are used to think of it, and yet he wrote fantastic opera, and this was really encouraging for me personally.
Interesting. Kaya, we are going to listen now to your Ultramar work for orchestra and choir. The work dates from 1998 and 1999 and was composed for the New York Philharmonic. The title Ultramar means across the sea in Old French. Now, what other background information would you like to share about this work before we hear it?
I wrote this piece while I was writing the libretto for my first opera, L'Amour de Loin, and so I developed already some material for the opera also in this piece, and I used it also in the piece. I was planning this piece, Ultramar, Across the Sea, to be a metaphor for the human journey across the time, in fact, and that's why there are different parts which speak really about some of the basic subjects which are important for all of us.
Well, let's go now briefly to the sixth movement, which was written and dedicated to the memory of French composer Gérard Griset. How important of an influence was he to you? And discuss a bit about spectral music. You were writing that when he passed away, right? This piece?
After.
Yeah.
After.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. I admire Gérard very much.
Mm-hmm.
I learned to know his music when I had just finished studying. And at that time, in the music history, it was really, really important. It was very different music than was generally composed in this post-serial period. And it gave me a lot of confidence to go on my way. That means to compose for ears and not for colleagues to read the scores, their working methods also inspired me. I never worked as Gérard did, but he analyzed sounds and then the results of his analysis he transcribed into orchestra. He I didn't work that way, but I was happy to know him as a person and his work, and so dedicating mm-hmm. this part for him was very natural mm-hmm. for me.
Yeah.
We listen now to Ultramar, Across the Sea by Kaija Saariaho. This work was written in 1998 and 1999 and will be performed now by the Tapiola Chamber Choir and the Finnish Radio Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Jukka-Pekka Saraste. Music of Kaija Saariaho.
Thank you.
You were just listening to Ultramar by Finnish composer Kaija Saariaho, as performed by the Tapiola Chamber Choir and the Finnish Radio Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Jukka-Pekka Sarasta. The work was written in 1998 and 1999. But we are going to go back now and listen to the concluding sections of my interview with Kaija Saariaho. And once again, this was recorded last Thursday in New York.
Kaija, let's talk briefly about the support that the Finnish government has given to its musicians, but appears somewhat to be declining. Share with us a little bit about that.
Well, there has been a golden period in Finland where some rare people understood how important music training is for the whole population, and they did construct a music conservatory school system all over the country, which was very affordable, and that's the reason that there started to be this blooming of musical life in Finland. It's a question of education, and then it's a question of vision, to understanding how important arts are and their support, and there was a period where the support has been really very remarkable. Mm. But this is fading now, and there is a new generation of people who have taken the positions in power, and these people are technocrats like all over the world, and they are just seeing the finances. And of course, always if I'm asked to discuss about this, I tell these people, well, how can you put a price for the most important things in life? I mean, how much does love cost, or how much does happiness cost?
Right.
You cannot give price.
Put a price tag.
Yes, and I think that I think that music, there has not been human culture until now without music, and now this music is taken over by the commercial calculations and the profit thinking. So. I think we are living in a very difficult situation, and unfortunately in Finland, like anywhere else.
Yeah, that's right, like anywhere else, and it's so sad. I mean, you know, there's been so much proof the importance of music in education, and everybody knows that, but meanwhile, music departments are being cut left and right. Students don't have the opportunity. I mean, I consider myself lucky where I live, is that we still have very strong performances in the high schools and junior high schools. But in most of the country, or a big part of the country, it is really a very, very sad situation with this.
Yes, I think it's a pity, because already to study arts for a child, it's one of the most precious things.
Naturally.
Because you can study, not if you study musical instrument, it's about as refined as human body can do. It's very complex enterprise. But you also learn about the sympathy, about the empathy, about the communication. And some years ago, they spoke a lot about emotional intelligence. And
sure.
I was happy that this was discussed, because I think that's the heart of humanity. But it's not discussed anymore.
No, it's not.
It was like a fashion.
Everything is one word, money.
Yes.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Kaija, why don't you share with us a bit as we proceed about what new is coming up for you in your future? For example, what new works are going to be premiered? Any new recordings? What's coming up for you musically?
The next big premiere will be in May with Los Angeles Philharmonic. I wrote a song cycle for Gerard Finley, and that will be, I'm very much looking for collaborating with him again.
Sure.
There are There are many productions of my different operas which will be coming up. Emilie will be in a new production. There will be two new productions of my opera, L'Amour de Loin.
Oh, wonderful.
And what else? Well, in fact, I'm working on opera again.
You're
right
doing
now.
Another opera. You've written so far three complete ones,
yes,
right? And
yes.
This will be the fourth.
Yes, yes. And this one is based on two no plays, Japanese no plays. It's in English. It's they are translated by Ezra Pound, and very beautiful language. And this is a collaboration with Peter Sellars. I'm working with the countertenor Philip Sharovsky.
He does so much early music.
But he's a great, intelligent singer. What else? Well, this is already a lot.
Recordings coming too?
Yes, there will be a new recording with my orchestra songs, Quatre Instants. And Emilie Suite, I made from my opera Emilie. Made a suite, and that recording should come out soon with Karen Bourges singing, a young French singer who sang a lot my music, and the Orchestre de Strasbourg in France. So that's my next Ondine CD.
Good. I'm looking forward to that one. Like I look forward to all of them. So let's totally go to a different topic. This is as different as it can be, but I guess the fact that you're finished, it's not so much out there. Compare a little bit the difference. I mean, we talk about finished tango. We're going now into that. Share with us a little bit the compare and contrast the differences between finished tango and the tangos from Argentina.
Well, if you know something about Finland, you know that it's a very different place than Argentina.
Yes, very much so.
So, in the beginning of 19th century, then the, no, 20th century, the tango traveled from Argentina to Finland. And what Finnish people started to like about it was all the nostalgic words and the sad love stories and all that sadness and longing, and then they developed that into their temperament. So it became very, very popular music in Finland, and of course it's not danced as the in Argentina. But it is danced. But it's danced in the Finnish shy and phlegmatic way. So it's something very, very different.
Interesting. Yes, because I saw a special about that on TV. It was several years ago, and it's almost like a very restrained, sad, kind of a very, I don't know if that's the right way of describing it, but it was totally, as you said, totally different.
Yes,
all of Iceland from
it's
Argentina.
Very sad, yes.
Very, very sad. Oh. moving to another unrelated topic, I often enjoy asking guests what they enjoy doing when they have a very rare, and I'm sure in your case, very, very rare, break for music. What are some non-musical things you enjoy doing?
I love cooking.
Oh, I love it. Love it right now. Yes. Sounds good.
I love it. Cooking for friends or cooking for my family. Mm-hmm. That's a big pleasure.
You do. What kind of things do you enjoy cooking?
Well, one thing is what I enjoy cooking, and the other thing is what they enjoy eating. Because when I cook for my family, my children, they have, of course, their favorites. Then I cook their favorites, like what could it be, certain fish or Finnish recipe, or it could be a duck, French recipe, so that would be for the family purposes. Wow. Then for the friends, I like to test recipes. Myself, I love vegetables, so that's my my way of, that's what interests me personally, the different recipes with vegetables, so that's fun. I love fresh food, and that's of course coming from Finland, where everything is very fresh, and fish is eaten very fresh, so I have this longing for fresh ingredients, which, by the way, here in New York, I can find easily.
You can?
Yes, I can. It's great.
That's great. Wow, this is wonderful. Well, Kaya, I just want to thank you so much for your time. It has been wonderful talking to you about your life, career, and music, and nothing but continued success. You were a delight to talk to.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
That was the concluding section from the interview I conducted with Finnish composer Kaija Saariaho. And today on Classical Discoveries, beginning at 8 o'clock, I was joined by the publisher and editor of the magazine, Music and Literature, Taylor Davis Van Atter. Taylor, welcome back.
Thank you, Marvin.
It's great to have you here, and you wanted to share some material regarding Kaija Saariaho.
Yeah, you know, earlier in your interview, we heard Kaija reflect on some of her very earliest compositions, and I thought it might be interesting to read a couple brief excerpts from two essays she wrote at the time that she was composing those early pieces. And both of these excerpts come from essays that we have brought into English for the first time and included in our newly released fifth issue. So this first excerpt comes from an essay that Kaija wrote in 1980 when she was 24, 25 years old, called "Scream If You Wish, But Fly." The artist should not, must not, given to habit or comfort. Good souls often create mechanisms that, despite protecting them, dull their visions and limit the range of what is possible. We cannot contradict them. The arrows will hit those whose hearts have no armor. Our cultural climate is tough, both for the young artist and the elder, at least if she has managed to establish herself. The circles are small and the elites are few. That's why one should only look in oneself. The second excerpt comes from an essay that she wrote 4 years later in 1984 called "Credo." I'm trying to get further, to get deeper. Lately, I've been wondering what I need to do to keep the will and the strength necessary for exploring, wondering if all that really matters, or if it's just about nurturing a natural aptitude from childhood, and perhaps about other equally important skills eventually replacing that aptitude. The strength of youth and faith and the riches they contain all become visible once the goal has been reached. It is surprising to see how a reputable artist, having achieved the social stature he struggled to attain, can lose the will to continue his development, how he lets himself become complacent and absorbed in the goals he has achieved instead of setting his sights on new horizons. Paralysis. Once the goals are achieved, do fossilization and emptiness irrevocably set in? Art has always had its detractors, but in our time, it risks sinking in the waves of commercialism that are submerging our visual and auditory perceptions everywhere. A new art emerges as a substitute, all tied up with no technical faults, but it remains soulless and degrading.
Thank you so much, Taylor, for sharing those with all of us. And also, I want to thank you for joining me today on Classical Discoveries to discuss your magazine.
Well, thank you so much for the invitation.
Why don't you remind everyone about the concert coming up tomorrow night and the website for the magazine?
Sure. So I'm in town to celebrate the release of Music and Literature Number 5, which includes some 150 pages on the Finnish composer Kaija Saariaho, including 50 to 60 pages of her own writing brought into English for the first time, and including many contributions from her closest collaborators over the past 35 years. The issue also includes portfolios, extensive portfolios, on Norwegian author Stig Sederbakken and Chinese author Shan Shui. You can find a full listing of the issue's contents and plenty of teasers on our website, which is www.musicandliterature.org. There you will also find reviews of newly translated books and, as of January, new music. You will also find our features section where we forecast upcoming print editions, and we cover new projects by artists who have appeared in previous print editions. In that section, you'll find an interview I conducted with Victoria Poleva, who will be featured in our upcoming issue this spring, number 6. On the website, you will also find, you'll be able to check out photos and write-ups from our previous events, and a link to our event tomorrow night, which is at Scandinavia House in Manhattan on Park Avenue. Begins at 8 p.m. Tickets, I believe, are still available, but we do expect the event to sell out, so it's best to reserve your seat now. This will be about a 90-minute program, a mix of Kaija's chamber music performed by 5 of her close musical collaborators. There will also be readings from the issue by contributors and other artists.
Very good, Taylor. Thank you so much, and thanks again for coming, and nothing but the best to you.
And to you.
And the magazine. Thank you so much. Well, we're going to, I just want to remind you that the MP3 audio sound files for today's program will be posted on my website by this evening. Also, the detailed playlist will be there as well. My website address is www.classicaldiscoveries.org. Well, I'm going to sign off with one more work of Kaija Saariaho. We listen to her Noa Noa, a work for flute and electronics as performed by flutist Camila Hoitenga. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. I will be back next Wednesday for my annual program, Music of the Americas, and hope you can join me for that. Have a wonderful weekend, and the best to all of you. Thank you so much once again for joining me today. Thank you.
Find your favorite music and movies right here in downtown Princeton at the Princeton Record Exchange at 20 South Tulane Street. The Princeton Record Exchange carries an incredible selection of over 140,000 new and used CDs, vinyl LPs, and DVDs. From the latest releases and reissues to rarities and collectibles, rock, jazz, classical, movies, TV shows, and much, much more. The very best part is they carry over 50,000 CDs, DVDs,